Welcome back to We're Live, Pal. Double G here with Andrew Zarian. Andrew, I see that
yes,
you
sir.
Have a new toy, a new thing to go around your shoulder back there. What's going on?
You know, it's amazing how fast WWE moves. You got to give them a lot of credit here because they announced that new title belt yesterday and I had it in front of my door this morning with a nice little note saying, here you go, enjoy. Do you guys want to see it?
It's like you just won the Super Bowl or something.
It is. It is like I just won the Super Bowl. They said, you know, it's very important to display this new title belt that we got. I mean, it's great, isn't it? Isn't this thing great? It kind of looks like a big gold belt with like a sticker put on top of it.
So we're going to talk about this. We're going to save this for the second half of the pod. But my first instinct when I saw Triple H unveil that thing, you know what I thought? Now, I didn't think this was actually going to happen, but In the back of my mind, I was like, he's going to put this belt on around his waist and he's going to be the new champ.
It's like,
because
it's like
that's
Bischoff
how, remember,
all over again.
Yeah, that's how the Bischoff thing happened with him, was he just gave him the belt. Like Brock wins the title and then let's just give one to Triple H. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, wild.
We can't really start there because there's so much crazy news, but we'll start
wherever you want to start. Yeah, we'll get there. But I know, you know, the way that this all started for me was at 5 something, I got a text from Brian Alvarez and he said, hey, did you hear? And I go, hear what? And he goes, Punk's at Raw. And I go, no, he's not. He goes, yes, he is.
That's what we call a tease, because the first thing we actually have to do is we have to talk about this convention. We're 4 weeks out for this convention.
Tony, I will not be there this year, unfortunately.
I know. It's sad. It's very sad. It's maybe the most disheartening thing about this convention for me. So those of you watching,
had a blast last year.
Oh yeah, yeah. As those of you watching can see the graphic, but those just listening, I'll get through this quickly. Memorial Day weekend, f4wonline.com/Vegas. The meet and greet with Dave and Brian, the Q&A, the sweet party, the dinner, the brunch. There's all kinds of stuff. There's Ed's show, Poder. What are we up to, like 5 at this point?
Wow.
So Go to f4wonline.com, /Vegas. I think Denise is going to be there. I'll be there. Brian and Dave, obviously. Just sadly, no Andrew Zarian. That's the big bummer out of all of it.
Yeah, man. You know, the shoot gig kind of gets in the way of things sometimes, and it's one of those. You know, things are great right after the pandemic. Things were slow for me. I could travel. I could do all this cool stuff, and now it's I'm back into DEF CON 1 of New York City hospitality.
Okay, let's start with this CM Punk story. The graphic that is on our live stream is just a photo of CM Punk that says WTF question mark. And that was my original thought when I saw the news that Brian Alvarez alerted you to, was what in the F is going on? So I'm going to read and get your immediate feedback. I'm going to read Josh Nason's story on the website, which he credited the information coming from PW Insider's Mike Johnson. So Mike Johnson reported, including Punk was in Florida doing MMA commentary work, was on a flight back to Chicago that had some WWE talents on it. While sitting with said talents, he learned Raw was happening in Chicago and showed up in the afternoon, brought in by other talents. Punk talked to several people backstage in the common area, including The Miz and Paul Levesque. According to Mike Johnson's report, from someone who saw the interaction, Punk and, let's just call him Triple H, shook hands and asked if they could talk for a few minutes. Triple H said he had to make sure that was okay with Vince. Huh. Why did he need Vince's okay here? That's a question I have. And so then he got I think he had to leave the scenarios, but he and Miz cleaned some stuff up. So that's the situation. They did not allow Punk to hang out for very long. So what is, like, You have a spidey sense of these things sometimes, like
a little bit.
What could be the possible reasons that CM Punk wanted to visit WWE backstage?
We'll go through some of the stories that we heard. One was that he was looking for a job. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the possibility here. I think he was probably, you know, he's hot in the news right now. And, one of the stories was that he wants to kind of break bread with these guys a little bit. And he had some issues with certain talent. And he kind of wants to squash all the beef to kind of show like, hey, listen, I'm willing to work. You know, I'm willing to do this.
Okay, but
get that, past all of this.
Doesn't that just contradict what you just said, that he's not looking for future work?
He's under a contract, yep. You know, so he can't go anywhere. I also heard, I spoke to someone there, and everybody speculating on what happened, right? That Vince threw him out, and Hunter threw him out, and security threw him out. That part that you said that he had to ask Vince, I had heard that, and when it was explained to me, they said they didn't want it to look like there was any sort of contract tampering or any sort of...
That's smart.
Situation to happen, which makes the most sense here, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think WWE was looking to embarrass him and tell him to leave and, you know, just grab him and throw him out the door.
Like Jazzy Jeff on The Fresh Prince.
Like
Uncle Phil,
yeah, like Jazzy Jeff. Can you imagine Uncle Hunter just throws him out? One of those. But it to me, it's more a legal matter. You know, this guy has a problem in AEW. They just announced his comeback. He shows up in WWE, hanging out, you know, in the back, and he wants to talk to Hunter. You know, can he do that legally? Can he have that conversation? Would it be considered contract tampering?
So, you know what else he probably has is Triple H's cell phone number, right? He probably does have that. Yeah. So some of this also had to be the pomp and circumstance of showing up and, you know, who in WWE is going to immediately blurt out to some of the writers, some of the podcasters, or maybe he wanted that. Maybe he sort of helped blurt that out. Who knows? I don't know who the reporting was from. Obviously, no one knows the sources, but there was some showmanship here from CM Punk to do it this way. Because you could literally just call Triple H and just be like, hey dude, what's going on? Let's make amends.
Man,
here.
It's Buzz. They have a huge show that's debuting on June 17th. He's coming back. He's been the topic. We have been talking about CM Punk for almost a year now. Nonstop. And he's done nothing, right? I mean, it shows you that the marketability and the draw power of this guy, that everybody's talking about him. And the second he goes backstage, it's more of a story. I do have to say, I did reach out to a couple of people, and I kind of got like a little bits and pieces. But unanimously, everybody found this to be beyond hysterical.
Yeah.
Almost every person I spoke to in WWE finds this entire scenario that he got on a plane with WWE talent, showed up in Chicago and went to the arena and like hung out there for like 20 minutes as just, can it get any more pro wrestling than this?
Absolutely.
Does this happen in the NBA? Did Michael Jordan ever get on the Knicks plane and show up and hang out with the New York Knicks in New York in the locker room? I don't think that happens.
No, because he wanted to fight them all. That's why.
Yeah, because he wanted to fight them all.
They were hammering him and taking shots at him, and he wanted to fight him. That's why he wouldn't have done it.
Listen, what a great pro wrestling story, though, huh?
Okay, so here's some other things that I wanted to bring up in relation to this. So, we believe, most everybody believes, that there is this Saturday show, which is a concession for CM Punk to come back so that you don't, you know, you split up the shows so that the people who don't want to do business with Punk can be on one show. Punk and his friends can be on this other show. You have this soft split, split tour or whatever you want to call it. So to me, it looks very much like Tony Khan is doing his best to placate this CM Punk situation. You may, maybe for the elite or others who don't like him, maybe they would have preferred that he just not bring him back. But Tony's trying to get some money back on his investment. And if this turns into some buku bucks for his company, then it's probably the right move if CM Punk had to be attached to this show.
I mean, so Brandon Thurston is reporting that it's potentially... I gotta read the exact quote. I don't want to... You know what? I'm going to take it back. Yeah, I'm not quoting him, but from what I understood, Brandon suggested that this could be upwards of $74 million between the two shows. And that's getting you closer to that $100 million mark that, you know, we've heard circulate out there.
Sure.
So, you know, going from $48 million or $54 million to $78 million, if that is the number, is tremendous. And Tony could do a lot with that money.
Yeah. Okay.
So, already paid off.
So now it looks like Tony Khan is doing his best to make sure that Punk could come back and be safe or whatever. But Tony Khan is also going to make out on this deal. So it's not just the fact that CM Punk is making out. Tony Khan, the company, they're making out if they are making that kind of money. Wouldn't you think, though, if CM Punk showed up on WWE or showed up backstage at WWE, if this wasn't some sort of combined effort from Tony and Punk to create interest, like you said, let's create some interest, and Tony's got an announcement coming up on Wednesday. We don't know what that is, though. I think you and Brian Alvarez are both thinking it might be video game related. But so we have all these things where it looks like the boss is doing everything he can to make sure that Punk gets what he wants. If this is not a combined sort of idea from the both of them, doesn't it look from the outside that Punk is like messing with him?
You know, I don't think that's the case. I would hope not, right? They're just making up. So I don't think you're going to... Something I said 2 weeks ago or last week on the show was Punk's legacy moving forward, right? And AEW's legacy moving forward. If, you know, God forbid, I know a lot of detractors exist about AEW, but there's a ton of people that absolutely love the pro wrestling style of it. I'm one of those people. I love the pro wrestling style that they have on TV. I like the long matches. I like to watch wrestling. Not taking a shot at WWE with that statement. But if AEW were to go away within the next couple of years, for whatever reason, the story will always be CM Punk. And CM Punk was the beginning of the end. You know, that was the moment that everything changed for that company with him exiting the way he did. He doesn't want that on his legacy. This guy was never... I mean, you've watched the documentaries, you've heard his interviews. He was always told he's not the guy. He was always told he's unathletic. He'll never make it with that look. His style isn't what people want to see. And this guy ended up becoming one of the biggest names in the business. And he doesn't want this on his legacy. That's what you're left with. So does he want two bad UFC matches and this disaster of an exit out of WWE and this disaster exit out of AEW? No, nobody wants that for themselves. And this is a guy that loves professional wrestling. Regardless if you think Punk is right or wrong, at the end of the day, this guy does not want his legacy to be that he was toxic. You know, a lot of Hogan comparisons and stuff like that. He doesn't want that. And I don't see him, unless something recently happened that we don't know over the last 48 hours, that this guy said, F Tony, I'm showing up in AEW and WWE and seeing what happens here.
Okay, you know, now could it be...
It could be that him and Tony were like, hey, you know what would really get a buzz? They're going to Chicago. I'm just going to show up there and see what happens.
Could this be a leverage possibility? Now, I don't like leverage. More of a power possibility to kind of remind, you know, Tony Khan that, hey, you know, there's this other option over here. And if I make, all I got to do is be friends with these guys again and, you know, use my charm and they may want me back. Like, heck, you know, maybe I'll be in WrestleMania, you know, in a couple of years or something. Like, I wonder, because I think the problem with this and the reason why you can't really have an unbiased opinion about CM Punk right now, because everything that you talk about CM Punk, you're sort of relating to the press conference at All Out and how he acted, yeah, what looked like to us to be someone who's like trying to set the company on fire is what it looked like. And so now everything that he does from here on out has that bias to it. So, yeah, it makes a lot of sense for me to believe that people think that he's just screwing around again and, you know, kind of putting pressure on Tony, like maybe there's a contract he wants to get the contract taken care of for the next 3 years. Like, who knows any of that? But,
here's the thing, though. Did CM Punk look good in this? Like, did he come off looking like he's in control of the situation? I think he came off more.
I guess it depends
more,
what side.
I think he comes off more like, I see it as him trolling, right? Regardless if he's trolling the audience or WWE or he's getting more buzz for himself, he's working. That's how I saw this. I didn't see this as a contract negotiation tactic or an F you to Tony. I hope it's not, right? Because, listen, man, I don't know CM Punk. I've had a couple conversations with Tony Khan. I know that I very much like pro wrestling, and I don't like I don't want either company to suffer. I think it's important for both companies to flourish and do great. So if he is flexing his muscle to Tony, I think that's a really dumb move.
It does seem dumb to me too, and which is why I can't say whether that's the truth or not. Like, who knows? It just would seem like CM Punk seems like a smart guy. Like, he seems like, you know, maybe we're giving him too much credit, but, you know, is there reason behind everything that he does, even when it looks like he's trying to burn down the company? There's a thought that, yeah, you know, maybe I can't say that this was my initial thought, but maybe he was really trying to make amends. Maybe he's like, gosh, you know, the way that I left those guys was bad, and I've badmouthed some of these guys, so maybe it's best, you know, clear my conscience and really apologize. Like, maybe there is something to that. But again, you know, we have this bias when we think about this guy, so it's hard to believe that that is the reason. But you even saying he's trolling, that leans towards a negative thought process, though, right? That
but who is he trolling? Genuine. Who's he trolling? The audience? You know, because guess what? We've spent 18 minutes talking about CM Punk and not that weird looking title belt that's a commemorative title to give to Cody, right? It has created news. And there's a guy, what's that saying? This guy wrote a book called Controversy Creates Cash. And, you know, that's pro wrestling. And I'm seeing this more of a, how can I get more advertising for what I'm about to do? This is how you do it. You show up in Chicago, you show up backstage at WWE, and you get ejected out the building for whatever reason. You know, I think Punk's a very smart guy, okay? From people that I speak, he's a very intelligent guy. He's not a dumb guy. Tony's not a dumb guy. I see this more of a calculated move rather than an F you. But that's my opinion.
Look, hey.
How do you see it as an FU to Tony, or where do you fall?
I think that, you know, we'll use our favorite word on the show. The optics of this situation is not great, I think. It comes off as either particularly strategic in a negative way towards his company or sort of careless and thoughtless. And neither of those things are really great. But then again, maybe it's like, oh, my old locker room, I have old friends here. That would be a more genuine thing, but still not a ton of foresight in that because of the optics and because of what we know is about to happen with this Saturday show. So, I mean, I find this stuff fascinating, of course, because it's all human behavior and it's all, you know, whatever it
is. That's the stuff I love.
Yeah. So,
but also, Garrett, you know, this is a company, right? AEW is a company where the CEO, the owner, went on TV and said there's only room for one con in this business, and it's not that con man from Connecticut, which is one of the most hysterical things I've ever heard in my life. I mean, I want to know, did Tony come up with that himself? Who wrote it for him? Because it is so funny to me that he went on live TV and did that. But that shows you the. How this is. Listen, man, when they did this in WCW, when DX showed up, you know, it was a big story when you would hear that somebody was backstage, Ric Flair circling the arena in his limousine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are big moments in wrestling. And you know what? It's a lot of half stories. It's a lot of half truths. that gets people talking and it becomes exciting and it kind of works into this new way of professional wrestling. I'm kind of falling into the I don't believe anything anymore. You know, I'm becoming this a little bit of a conspiracy theorist when it comes to this stuff for my own enjoyment, because then you go crazy. But, you know, does this help CM Punk and that Saturday show? I think it does.
Possible, for sure. I mean, it's for one, it's him just continuing to be the subject of the pro wrestling ecosystem. And he hasn't even been on TV. Like you said, we've been talking about this guy forever. So it's just another way for that to happen. And yeah. If he did go in there kind of thoughtless and not really having a strategy, at the bare minimum, people were going to talk about it. So it could very well be that as well.
Do you think he brought muffins? That's what I want to know.
I guarantee you his blood sugar was not low when he got off that plane. He probably made sure to get some food in his system. So here's another thing relating to AEW, and I think you're getting some credit here.
A little bit.
Magnificent producer John, do we have the little graphic here for one Andrew Zarian from Dave Meltzer? That. Andrew Zarian already reported this, but we did get confirmation the new AEW TV show will be airing on TNT. There
Look
you
at
go.
That. Scoop Dave.
You scoop Dave. He talked about it on Wrestling Observer Radio today. Mentioned your name. You got a name drop there.
I did.
So that's
very much appreciate it.
It's a pretty good Tuesday morning for you, my friend.
Yeah, man. I listened to Dave in the shower. That's how I stand there and I just cry about my day. And it takes me about 58 minutes, the same length as Wrestling Observer Radio. And it's always, I pop whenever I hear my name, Dave, saying it. Because it's still like, I was just listening to the archives this morning. Like, I went on archive.org and I found like a bunch of shows from 2000. I'm listening to that. I'm like, I say it all the time. I'm like, 16-year-old me kind of loving this life, you know?
It's awesome. It's awesome. Like, it's funny.
It's all fun.
My ex-wife, when I was married to her, that's when I really started getting into the Observer. And we wouldn't even call it the Observer. Like, she would get the mail and she'd hand me the newsletter and she'd just be like, oh, here's Dave. Like, that's just what she called the Observer. So then, you know, fast forward, and this is probably 2019. And then she heard me on the show. I think one of my kids probably played it to her. And she had the like funniest reaction, because she's like, wait, you were reading this guy and now you're doing a show with him. Like, what? Yeah. How did this happen? What's going on? So she got a kick out of that. But yeah, people don't really.
It's all fun.
You know, unless you were there, you know, with us as fans, it is, you know, it is kind of surreal sometimes when you think about it.
It really is. Yeah, but. Yeah, TNT on Saturdays.
So what else do we know about this show? What do you think is happening here? I guess we already have the early June, first weekend of June. Is that the start
June,
date?
June, May 17th, I believe, for the announcement, which is a Wednesday, and it's also upfronts. June 17th for the first show.
Oh, okay, so it's in the middle of June, actually, then.
Yeah, June 17th. Yeah, that's Saturday.
So, and we believe that there is going to be somewhat of a split roster here.
So, I said originally I was told it's a soft split. And then as I said that, the person that told me this was listening and they said, actually, I want to correct you. It's less soft than you're alluding to. So I don't know. It's a soft hard split. I don't know how to define it. I have no idea beyond that.
So it's possible that we will see some talent on both shows, but maybe not a lot of talent.
But look at it this way, right? Like, you have a TBS champ and you have a TNT champion. The TBS champion should be on TBS. The TNT champion should always be on TNT. They shouldn't go back and forth, right? So that, I guess, that's defined as a hard split. If CM Punk is on one show, some certain people are not. I don't know beyond the description of it. I just know that something like CM Punk is not exclusively on Saturday, as far as it was said to me. I don't think Turner would want that. I think they want to kind of spread the viewership between two brands. You know, you have two flagship shows, potentially a flagship show on Saturday. You have two big shows. You have 2 hours. They're live. Why would you alienate half your roster? You could swap back and forth throughout the weeks, and I think that might be fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was the intention with Rampage initially. Remember, if Kenny Omega was on Wednesday, he wasn't necessarily on Friday. If he was on Friday, he wasn't on Wednesday. So,
right.
We'll see. I don't know. And this is all, you know, short term. We don't know the long term philosophy behind the show. We don't know if it's not going to be live eventually. We don't know the preemption because there's going to be a ton of preemption because of NBA and other things going on.
See, but I don't know if there's going to be. Because the NBA, once the season's over, during the regular season, the NBA is not on the weekend on TNT. It's only in the middle of the week. So I don't even know
if it would be preempted.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be preempted by basketball. I don't think they would even be preempted by baseball. I think it would just be the competition because... You know, that Saturday night, that Saturday evening competition, especially during college football season, is brutal.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't, it is brutal for sure, but we don't really know about the AEW audience and how they work with football. Monday Night Raw, you know, they've been competing with Monday Night Football for decades.
Yes.
You know, I think the bigger issue here is WWE pay-per-views and UFC pay-per-views. What are you going to do on those nights?
True.
Are you going to go
true.
6 to 8? Maybe you could go 6 to 8 those nights.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd be very interested in the calculus in this decision. You know, some of it is probably, you know, he probably didn't really, some of it may be that's just the night that Warner Brothers wanted it, right? Like, not necessarily that he could have, you know, picked the night or picked the time or whatever. But
you know what I'm thinking? Here's what I'm thinking, right? Saturday Night Wars, AEW goes up against WWE pay-per-views every Saturday, every once a month on Saturday. You have a big title match at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, huge title match. You
especially
you
because
I mean, you could do something fun.
Especially because a lot of people watch those WWE shows on delay.
Yeah. You could do something very, very cool. Now, listen, man, it really comes down to, at the end of the day, it comes down to, are you creating programming that people really want to watch? First run programming that I don't want to DVR. Are you going to be able to do that? I hope they do, but that's a very difficult thing to be able to do week in and week out. WWE suffers with that. You know, we've seen that. It's not the Attitude Era. You have so much competition now. It's not just WWE you're competing with. Like you said, you're competing with everything else. So, you know, if they come out guns a-blazing and they do some crazy stuff, then I think they're going to be onto something here. But if it's just like another Rampage and it eventually becomes pre-recorded, which I don't think so, but if it does, then, you know, what's the most you're going to do? It really comes down to the effort that you're putting in.
Would you change, how much of the look would you change compared to what Dynamite is today?
I have to tell you something, and it may be an unpopular opinion. I don't like the new changes to Dynamite. I don't like the ring ropes. I don't like that the crowd is lit. I liked it better when it was the black ropes and the crowd was dimmed with the spotlights on them. Aesthetically, mm-hmm. It looked better on TV for me. Especially now, some of these buildings are weird looking. Like, you know, the one with the wall where they put that AEW poster on?
Yeah.
There's like two buildings that happens where the hard cam is facing this wall. You know, I don't want to really see that. But listen, I'm just nitpicking, right? That's just me picking something I don't like. If they do the black ropes and they kind of have like a different vibe to it, yeah, I think that's really cool. They're going to have to do something different, like Raw and SmackDown.
Would you put a giant fist on the stage?
Oh yeah, always right over the ring. I want that fist hanging over the ring. You know, you can have like a countdown, and then all the fireworks that they didn't use for the death match could just come out of the fist.
What? And are you pretty sure that this is going to be what the trademark collision was for?
I'm 90%.
AEW collision. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Right? I mean, the whole thing's fascinating. Like we've been talking about, Tony Khan had some big plans. You could just tell that he had some big plans coming with the Wembley show. Whether, you know, what is up with All Out? Like, is that, what have you heard about that? Anything?
I've heard zero. Recently I've heard more speculation, and it has more to do with Tony's announcement tomorrow, whether or not it's some sort of streaming service, because I know that is part of the negotiation, that they need to have a cataloged, organized place for all their content.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's that. I'm leaning more towards the game. I don't have any specific insight on this, other than when the video game announcement, when I posted that on Twitter, on it would come out in the second quarter. I was told that by mid-April we would have some sort of announcement regarding it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just speculating that that could be it. It could be a streaming service. I don't think it's CM Punk. I do not think it's the Saturday show, unless Tony wants to get ahead of this a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I spoiled it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to spoil it.
The streaming service thing here is interesting to me because, was it last week or 2 weeks ago when David Zaslav made the announcement that they were removing the HBO branding from the streaming service and it was going to be Discover and all of their content combined as just Max? And the idea was that this prestige brand of HBO kind of holds back the casual viewer. Like, Netflix is such a casual streaming service. People aren't afraid to stream the content there. It's not highbrow or whatever, you know, whatever the term, prestige content. So if the idea is to make this Max service way more consumer friendly, generic, I could see AEW content being on this new service, whereas I didn't know if it was a good fit for the HBO service or not.
I mean, it really has to do with the layout, right? And how they catalog this. But they need, why wouldn't they be on there? Every Turner property is Turner property, right? It's on Turner. It should be, they should have some sort of archive next day or whatever. And Ring of Honor could go on there too. You know, part of Tony's idea with Ring of Honor, obviously he likes the brand, but it also has to do with the assets on hand. It brings your company value up by having this 20 plus year archive of this content. You know, when you're evaluating a company, the assets that you have is part of your evaluation. And this is one of those. That's a valuable asset, whether it's a couple million dollars or, you know, whatever you think the Ring of Honor archive could be worth to somebody. It's a valuated asset. And to not use it in a major way is a detriment. So I think this Ring of Honor stuff should be grouped in with whatever they have.
You would hope so.
I mean,
it's yeah. So, and you know, there's the pay-per-view piece of this as well. I don't know if people really enjoy buying through Bleacher Report. I don't personally enjoy it much. I don't find much value in that service. And I would, you know, because I'm going to subscribe to Max. I'll be a day one subscriber. I subscribe to HBO Max right now. So I will already have that subscription. And then the idea that you could purchase a pay-per-view for whatever, you know, whatever extra on that service. And I would probably trust the idea that they would take care of that content in a good way. Now, HBO Max did very little live streaming from what I remember when it came to sports. So that would be something that they would have to probably work out. Though, you know, if you're watching HBO and you wanted to watch Succession, you know, it's showing on HBO Max just as it's showing on, you know, HBO proper. So maybe it's not as big of a deal. But yeah, that's the piece that I'm really interested in, because I think there's value in AEW. I think it would up their game tremendously to be on a service like that to the general fan base who goes, oh, I didn't know. I thought WWE was actual professional wrestling. I didn't know there was other stuff. Oh, yeah. AEW is on this Max service.
My kids don't. My kids, whenever AEW's on, they're like, can you put wrestling on? And I'm like, this is wrestling. He goes, no, this isn't wrestling. They think the WWE way is wrestling, and this is something else, which I find so funny.
You gotta give a what's the word for it then? Give them a word. The high flying grappling. That's what I want to watch.
Yeah. Tussling.
Yeah, I want to. Where's Vikingo? I want to see the flips. Can I watch the flips?
That should be.
Can I watch the flips? Okay, so Let's move over to the wrestling side of things, according to your kids, with WWE. So Monday Night Raw, the big story is that Triple H has introduced a new belt, which you showed us at the beginning of this show. This angle, I thought, was terrible to introduce this belt. Okay, there's a couple things here. One, he basically said that Roman doesn't wrestle enough and that we need a fighting champion. And I'm like, this dude is about to go 1,000 days as your champion, and you're kind of killing him on this show for whatever reason. I've never heard this argument from Triple H, at least as far as I can remember. So all of a sudden, he just created a reason. Secondly, now, I don't know how much UFC you watch, but what this reminded me of is when Dana White has a pay-per-view, but his champion is a little dinged up. And so he creates a fake title called the interim title so that his pay-per-view can actually have a title fight. I mean, it's a fake title fight, but it's still a title fight for his pay-per-view. That's what this belt reminds me of, is our champion doesn't wrestle enough and we need a title on television. So we're going to create the interim champion. I think Brian Alvarez called it the bronze medal on Wrestling Observer Radio last night. The whole introduction to this thing was weird. It didn't make the belt seem very important at all. They're going to have some sort of match or tournament or whatever for this Night of Champions show in Saudi Arabia. But wow, you know, I wish we could go back and redo, because this belt did not get off to a good first impression to most people.
No, and to me, it looks like Seth Rollins is winning that title.
Could make sense for Seth to win.
And then you have that rematch with Cody, and Cody beats Seth and wins the title. But again, I have a couple issues with this belt. First of all, I don't think it's ugly. I don't dislike the belt. I just feel like somebody made a really cool looking belt in WWE 2K23, and somebody saw it. They said, "Hey, what? How about this design? You just slap the logo on the big gold." You could tell that Hunter had influence with this title, obviously, but. So you told us that Cody is not good enough. People aren't good enough to beat Roman. And you have to create a secondary belt for this. But what happens when Roman does lose the title? Does that belt mean more? Or have you already decided that which title belt means more? Because to me, the one that beats Roman Reigns is the one that matters.
And that's the story that Cody seemingly wants to finish, right?
And that's the story, yeah.
I'm gonna give a shout out to my friend John Muse. It took him about 30 seconds to try and create an angle of where WWE might be going with this. He said that Triple H's shots against Roman may make Roman feel like he has to get this third belt. So when Cody gets it, Roman wants the third belt, and that's when they go title for title. But I'm just like, why couldn't Cody just have won and then Roman wants to beat him back because he's nothing without the titles?
They want the 1,000 days. I was told this a while ago. This was part of that logic of why Bill Goldberg won the Universal title. Long time ago, I was told that WWE really had an issue. I mean, how long ago was that? They have an issue with the history books because they hotshot these titles, go back and forth so often. Compared to the old days, nobody could come near that length of championship. And when you look at the history books, does anybody in this generation know who Pedro Morales is? Obviously, Bruno's Bruno and nobody's beating that. But, you know, you have a lot of older names with these long title reigns. It's mostly Hogan. Hogan, Pedro, Bob Backlund. Bruno. So how do you put somebody in the modern era in there? Well, you're close to 1,000, and 1,000's pretty close. And they see it that way. The same reason why Bill Goldberg was a Universal Champion. It wasn't because they thought Bill Goldberg is a great pro wrestler and win the title. It's to fluff the story of the title, the lineage of the title. You put a Bill Goldberg, you put a Brock Lesnar. Let's say you put a Triple H. I'm just throwing a name. Now it's like, wow, look at all these names. And Kevin Owens had it. Kevin has to be great to be in there. Dolph Ziggler? The Miz? You know, so you gotta, I, you know, I'm a marketer, so I understand why it doesn't make sense sometimes for the audience, because it was totally the wrong, it just timing didn't work. It just didn't work.
I was hoping you were going to tell me the reason why they created this belt was because the Fiend masks were not as popular anymore with him not on TV, and they needed some toys, and they needed to prop up the toy, the life.
It's for sale already. It's for sale already, $500 on WWEshop.com.
What about the fake one? Do they have the fake one for $50 out there yet?
No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah,
I almost bought it for my son. His birthday's coming up. I almost ordered that title, and then I just slapped this. I said, good enough.
It's the same thing. So, yeah, I didn't like this whole thing. It felt really forced. It didn't feel like it was something that they thought about and that they, you know, because a lot of what the Bloodline and this Roman thing and this Cody thing has been about is just this long-term storytelling. This seemed like a little bit of impromptu of that. So that's why I was kind of like, eh. But, you know, talking about WWE, we have this draft that starts on Friday. And part of this conversation that Triple H was having with himself in this interview, he was saying, or he was acting like, this is going to be a hard brand split. Now, I know that they always sort of start that way, but just think about this.
Yeah.
The hot acts are driving the attendance and driving the TV ratings. So you're telling me that you're going to split these hot acts up just because? Like, wouldn't you save that to when the popularity kind of died down a little bit so you could pivot? Like, why would you even think about doing this now?
I don't know. I've never been a fan of a split roster. Like, I kind of understand why some people need to be on one show more if they're in a feud, they're in a program with someone. But, like, I don't necessarily agree. Why would you cut back on your viewership? You know, that was always my problem in 2002 when they did the split. I didn't really watch SmackDown as much. Or sometimes I didn't watch Raw as much because I was playing, you know, my favorites were on one compared to the other. So I'm curious if that still exists. But, you know, if the champions are going back and forth and they're able to kind of appear on both shows, can it work? Yeah, I guess so. But at this point, you know, why would you break something that's working?
That's the part that's hard for me to understand. Now,
yeah, me too.
Historically, the brand split was sort of created to then break it up so that you get everyone back on, and that becomes the pivot. So I don't know, man. It's going to look really silly. Now, the organizational part of me goes, yeah, that'd be kind of fun. You have these brand splits and, you know, like the old days, the only time they could come together is on pay-per-view and you can create these matches for the big five or six pay-per-views. That is attractive to me if they stick to it, you know, and they don't, you know, they don't feel the need to go against it. But at the same time, it just seems like it is against what's working, which doesn't sound smart at all. So I don't imagine. I mean, but does Triple H, you know, my initial thought was, oh, Triple H always wanted to do the brand split in a specific way, and Vince could just not do it in that way because of whatever reason. And you know, to give Vince credit, it was always business, right? He wasn't going to bring the rosters back unless the business, you know, called for it, ratings or whatever. But they're pretty stable right now, so maybe they think, oh, you know, we'll try it, and maybe we could be okay with it. But I don't know, man. This does not. It just sounds like all the things that we were praising these guys for, you know, for all of the, you know, the end of 2022 and the early 2023, all of a sudden they're just like, oh, we're bored. We got to change it up. And I'm not sure who do you put that's where? A good reason.
Who do you, you know what I mean? Like, who do you put where? Roman stays on SmackDown. The Bloodline's not going to get split unless you split the Bloodline up.
No, that seems dumb too.
Which is dumb, right? You can't split Kevin and Sammy up. That's dumb. Cody stays on Raw. Seth stays on Raw. Brock, where does Brock go? Stays on Raw. I mean, you're really, unless they do something really nuts and everybody's all over the place, you know, Roman's on Raw and Cody's on SmackDown and you're kind of, you know, moving people around, but also the networks, you know, it's coming up on a contract year, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to play favoritism. You don't want to move one person to the other unless, you know, you want to get a little bit conspiracy oriented here. I did the so Macho Man thing.
You're telling me, if SmackDown gets nobody, WWE's off of Fox. That's what you're telling me.
I mean, maybe that's them playing the game, right? They move people. They move Roman to Raw, and all of a sudden they announce that deal with Peacock, where Peacock controls brands. You know, is it possible? Yeah, but I always wonder what the logic is and what they're basing this on, because they're not just willy nilly drawing people and putting them all over the place like they used to. There's analytics that go into place, much like everything else in sports now. It's all analytical, so. I'm sure they're looking at something and thinking like, okay, well, Matt Riddle does this in the quarter here, but on SmackDown, he does this. Maybe we should focus him more on SmackDown. He has the audience for SmackDown does better. Rey Mysterio does better on SmackDown. We should keep him on SmackDown instead of Raw. These are all things that they're going to look at. That, I mean, they would do that all the time when it came to UPN and when SmackDown was on UPN or was on CW. What was the story you would hear all the time, right? Hispanic viewership is much higher for SmackDown. And that was the beginning of them looking at the analytics and determining where to put people. You know, these things come into account, whether or not it's based on geography or not. I think it really has to do with them looking at the numbers and saying, okay, well, this is hot. This is a hot period for us. This is a hot quarter for us on this show. Let's move these guys here.
Yeah.
Unless they're dummies, which I don't think they are.
No, they're not dummies, because stuff is working. And, you know, some of this is, I'll admit, some of my, I'm not scared or anything, because, you know, wrestling's wrestling. But some of this is just that I like what they're doing. I don't want them to change.
Me too.
Right?
Yeah, me too. Like, I think it's been good.
Things are working. Now, Cody not winning the belt, and, you know, you can have your opinion on that stuff, but you can't then go at the same time and look at those ratings and look at these arenas. Like last night, man, Cody came out for that promo. This dude was over like crazy. Like these fans were just right behind him from get-go. So even if I have an opinion on something that I wished would have happened, I can't then go, you know, and then not see the numbers, you know, the ratings. You know, Raw did another 0.56 or whatever it was yesterday. So
do we have the numbers?
Yeah, Brandon Thurston had them. Let's see if I can find them. So, Raw, I think they did 1.8. Brandon Thurston, 1.82, and a 0.56 in the 18 to 49. So, you know, there were some NBA games, Lakers and Grizzlies. Was last night. They probably caught the back end of the Milwaukee game and then the front end of the Lakers, Grizzlies, and
Rangers,
you know, LeBron taking the game to overtime.
Yeah, Rangers were playing yesterday. The Knicks are playing tomorrow. You know, there's a lot going on. But you know what? If you look at these numbers compared to a year and a half ago and what WWE was doing, wow. You know?
Yeah.
They've added about 500,000 people, give or take 400,000, 500,000 people. The demo is up a quarter of a point at least, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's great. That's showing growth and progress, and people are interested in the product, regardless if our audience watches it. There's a audience for it.
Yes.
So whatever they're doing is working. Now, is this going to affect the numbers? We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out for sure. I guess the last thing, I was trying to think of what we should talk about in this last segment here. What is your feeling on Dynamite right now as the, because, you know, Dynamite since the beginning has been the A show, right? Dynamite's been the A show. Now we're adding this Collision show, and we'll get to the Dynamite preview here in a second. But do you think that Collision, if Collision becomes a really good show, you know, you just mentioned this Raw SmackDown dynamic that you had when you were younger. Could you see them siphoning some viewers from the A show because they have this secondary show where maybe the biggest draw in the company is going to be on?
Yeah, a little bit. I have no way of forecasting this because we don't have metrics on a primetime pro wrestling show to do well on a Saturday night. So if I'm being analytical, I don't know what they'll do. I don't know what kind of numbers they'll do. I know that they believe they'll do more than what Rampage is doing, and Rampage is doing about 400,000 people. So okay, they will do somewhere.
You better do more than the Dead Show.
So again, it's not a fair comparison. It's on at a bad time slot. It's on at 10 o'clock on a Friday. I'm done. It's Friday.
Yeah.
I'm not watching it. It's just not happening live. I'll watch it the next morning. That's my 9 a.m. show that I watch, and that's great. This show, we'll find out. I mean, can they do 800,000? Can they do 750? If I'm gonna throw a number that I think the sales team would be comfortable with, 750 plus. Is a healthy number to have. That's how I see this.
Here would be my worry. My worry would be that success on a Saturday night isn't success on a Wednesday night. But in order to get success on a Saturday night, if people decide to pick and choose, maybe it takes away from Wednesday, and so you have this, you know, not super impressive Saturday night number you take away from your Wednesday night number. Now, maybe because Dynamite's been on for 4 years now, Wednesday is just going to be wrestling night no matter what. So Saturday sort of becomes like we have to build this show to now make people feel like Saturday is also wrestling day. I think it's going to be way harder because, you know, I don't know what your weekends are like, but, you know, my wife's like, yeah, you know, wrestling's on Wednesday and you do podcast on Thursday. But Saturday, nobody's got to work. We don't got to go to work on Sunday. So if we're going to be out, it's going to be Saturday, right? If you're going to go out, if you're going to go to the movies, if you're going to go to a concert, if you're just going to hang out and, you know, watch a family movie with the kids, it's going to be Saturday night.
See, I got the opposite. Okay. I'm a dirty stay out all week long. I'm out all week. When Friday, Saturday comes, I am in bed at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it's perfect peak time for me to watch wrestling. For me.
Okay. I don't know if that's
the rest of America.
Well, okay.
But
so,
that's
so
for me, you know,
can I tell you what it is going to do for you though, as the content creator, as the podcaster, as the host of the Sunday Wrestling Observer Live, you're going to have content for that show. Easy peasy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not doing a week roundup anymore. You know, it's fresh content. And what the hell am I going to do when there's a pay-per-view on and there's a show on, you know, it's going to be, you know, and think of this, right? I believe next week there's a UFC pay-per-view and a WWE PLE, right? At the same time.
Saturday.
And you add, and eventually, I mean, if that ever happens again, now you got AEW as well. What does that do to your numbers? That's interesting too. And I can't watch all of it. You know, I gotta sacrifice one for the other. I'm very fascinated by this time slot. Very fascinated on how they'll do, how they'll sell this. You know, Turner wants it, and that's a positive.
No,
it shows that deal is going to happen, that new contract.
So, you know, and this is, we've talked about this a lot, is how much of this is being a good partner. You know, your end of the bargain and your partner wanting to work with you. I know that you kind of refuted that rumor that was out there that, you know, maybe Warner Brothers Discovery wanted to talk to WWE when their deal was up. And what was your take? Just that they're investing so much money in AEW that it doesn't make sense for them to even think about working with WWE?
When I reached out to someone at Warner, they said, well, we would have to be idiots to say, no, we're not interested, right? It's a prime A property on cable television. Of course, if they would like to talk to us, we would always be willing. Like, it was almost like, you know, it's like saying like, hey, I'm going to bring Michael Jordan. You want Michael Jordan on your channel? You want to have a prime top name on your product? Yeah, of course you do, but the reality of the conversation is not there. So I don't think WWE is interested in going to Warner. I think they have a very deep relationship with NBC Universal right now, and with Fox, mm-hmm. obviously. So you're going to go from that to Warner that already has wrestling, that's doing well with wrestling, and most likely they're going to sign the contract soon. They'll probably within the next couple months. I don't think it's a reality. I think it was a very sensational conversation that guy had on the podcast, and I'm sure he's spoken to people.
Are you talking about Mr. James Andrew Miller?
Yeah, James Andrew Millers. Millers with an S. It's plural. There's multiple. I would say that he was probably, based on what he knows about the company, I would say that he filled in a lot of blanks on something. He doesn't really know the pro wrestling business. So if he's looking at this as a network property, yeah, of course they're interested. But the reality of this happening is not happening.
Yeah, I mean, I see why that would... I see why you would come to that conclusion. And it's like, you know, when people were talking about whether WWE was going to be for sale or what the number was, and I always went back to my old boss. You know, she lived in a nice house in San Francisco that was probably worth upwards of $3 or $4 million. And she said that Chase Utley, the former Philadelphia Phillies baseball player, him and his wife were looking at her house. And I was like, why? And she's like, oh, they were thinking about buying it. And I was like, but your house is not for sale. And she said, for the right price, it is always going to be for sale.
Same thing with me, right? Same thing. I'm not looking to sell my house, but do you know how often I've had people knock on my door and say, hey, would you care to sell the house? You would have this much. You know, we could sell it for this much. I'll always listen. You know, you want to give me, you know, something ridiculous. Yeah, maybe I'll take it, but I'm not really actively looking for that. And I think it's a similar thing. The other thing I want to talk about for a second. I know we got like 3 minutes.
Yep.
Am I the only one that wants to see CM Punk and Jeff Jarrett have a match?
I think it'd be fun.
It's like 10-10 wins. You give us a 2-hour AEW show. I want Jeff Jarrett wrestling someone random. Totally random. Well,
speaking about Dynamite, what about Dax and Jarrett this weekend?
Dude, I'm so into it. I don't know why. I don't know why.
You know why?
I get such a kick out of seeing Jeff Jarrett.
You know why? It's why we also like... No. It's why we also like Dustin, right? Like, A, it reminds us of when we were younger. But B, they wrestle in a style that very few people in AEW wrestle. They wrestle a very old school style, so it kind of stands out, you know, and it stands out in a good way. Not saying that Jeff Jarrett is better than, you know, Kenny Omega.
I want to issue an apology to Jeff Jarrett.
For hating Jarrett when you were a kid, I did not appreciate him.
I did not appreciate him in TNA. Okay, I manifested this disdain for that theme song and seeing Jarrett come out with the title. I take it all back. This guy, I find the whole thing hysterical, right? That this dude is still looking the way he does. He's so old timey with that hair.
Yeah.
He has that Memphis blonde locks, you know? I think the whole thing is unbelievable.
You know, Dave and I interviewed him not too long ago, a couple months ago. And he gave he has a fun relationship with Dave because he was needling Dave the whole time in like the old school, you know, old school pro wrestler way. I very much enjoyed talking to Jeff. And look, I don't think you can be, you know, look back and go, oh, I made the wrong. Like Jarrett and TNA was not the best. Like there was a specific style that they were booking him that was very not fan friendly. So I very much enjoyed this current version of Jeff.
Is this your favorite version of Jeff Jarrett?
I mean, you got to go back to the Ain't I Great, that part, because that was very cartoonish, and he was just, I don't think he was happy doing that character, but he was just dialed in, and he was just that guy. But that's more towards like the recollection of your childhood. This is a great version. This is a fantastic version of Jeff Jarrett. All right, before we get kicked out of here. Good for him. Before we get kicked out of here, we got Omega, Takeshita against The Butcher and The Blade, Sammy and Darby, and this terrible Four Pillars deal that's going on. Cassidy against Bandido, which should be fun. And then Jade against Taya. So will we see something happen here? Maybe Taya gets disqualified for kicking too much ass and using Jade's move. Who knows? But looks like on paper, pretty good, solid Dynamite here with the Tony Khan thing.
I want to see that tag match, dude.
Yeah.
Like Kenny and Takeshita.
Be good stuff. All right. So we're done here. We'll be back next week. Man, it's already coming up to Backlash. This year's moving so quickly. Before Andrew, the new title holder, the new belt, got the championship.
Here it is.
I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.